And thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
I want to talk to you about maturity. This is something the Lord laid heavy on my heart this week. Maturity. When I turned 50 10 years ago, I'm 60 now. When I turned 50, I got in the mail an AARP card. And it made me mad. I said, they got a lot of nerve. Send me a AARP card. I'm turning 50 years old. Who do they think they are? Got a lot of nerve. I almost sent it back to them with a nasty gram, but I didn't do it. But I didn't like getting an AARP card turning 50. And then 10 years later, here I am. I turned 60 in January. And I swear, I was in denial for about 2 months. I kept telling my mom that she lied about my birth certificate or something, you know. And I'm really not 60 years old. And then I had to accept the fact that I am 60. And you can't stop age, but you can stop maturity. You're going to age until you die and leave this earth here. But the question is, are you maturing? See? So I decided that I'm going to move on to maturity. The last couple of weeks, the Lord has been laying messages on our hearts here in this house about let's press on to know the Lord, the goal of life. Let's press on into know. Let's just don't stay where we are. And this time next year, we're pretty much the same. No, let's press on into maturity. Let's find out what's that look like and how do I do it? How do I become mature? And a scripture I read this morning, in fact, I read it during intercessory prayer. It just grabbed my attention, this Mark chapter 4 passage. Can you bring that up now? Mark chapter 4, and there you go. And Jesus is speaking, and he says, so is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God's like this. Now, he's giving you an illustration. He said, the kingdom of God is like this. If a man should cast some seed, everybody say seed. And he casts some seed into the ground, next verse. And then the man would go to sleep and rise at night and day, and then he notices the seed's just going to spring up. And notice this, and he doesn't know how that happened. And then later on it goes on to say, and then first it's the blade, and then it's the stalk, and then it's the whole full ear of corn. Now, take this with you. This is the kingdom of God is like this, Jesus says. It's like a seed, you plant it in the ground, and next thing you know, something comes up. And you really don't really know all the science of it. I mean, you may have read books and you may be a farmer, you know more than most people, but there's mystery involved in how that seed matures into a full grain. There's mystery in the kingdom of God. Let's like, for example, you know, God is hidden right now, but he's here. He's not hidden from you, he's hidden for you. So that you will seek him out and say, I want to know this invisible God. And those who seek him, the Bible says, will find him. That's the way God designed it. See, someone said that, you know, why doesn't Jesus just show up in church on Sunday morning in the physical body and is glorified by? Why don't he just show up here and we would just be in awe of him? What would you do if Jesus manifested right now in this spot here in front of us all? What would you do? You'd be on your feet. On your face in awe. Well, the same Jesus that I just spoke to you about, if he'd manifested in the flesh where you could see him with your eyes, is here. And you're not on your face. You know why Jesus doesn't manifest like that in church? Because he wants voluntary worshipers. Voluntary. Not it. You'd be, man, he showed up right now, everybody here, whether you believe or not, you would be become a believer real quick. You'd be, whoa, involuntary worship. But he wants voluntary worship. He stays hidden so that there'll be just enough mystery involved that you will seek him. And that's how we grow in the things of the kingdom, too. It's a mystery. There's mystery involved. Not to keep things hidden from you, but so that you can go after them. And I've been a Christian now I've been following the Lord for 40 years. And I know that I know less now than I have more mystery in my life now, more unanswered questions now than I did when I first began. There's more mystery involved in knowing God. I got a lot of questions that are just unanswered after 40 years. And so what God is interested in, if from after you know the Lord or say you know the Lord or encountered the Lord, been born from above by his Spirit, is that now you got to mature. And everybody is at different levels, and everybody matures the most primarily through the difficulties of life. The things you're praying for God to stop. The things you're asking God, would you do something about this? And it's the very thing that he mysteriously uses to make you grow. So sometimes our prayers are against what God's doing. And that's a mystery to us. We don't understand a lot. And you have to understand that in the kingdom, there's just a lot of mystery. A lot of things that you're not gonna understand. Listen, just because you get older doesn't mean you're maturing. You can be an old man and not mature. Still be immature. Story was told about a lady who was 100 years old, and she went out on a blind date with a man who was 102. Can you believe that? They went out on a blind date, and she came home from the date, and her daughter, who's in her 80s, said, well, Mom, what's wrong? You seem frustrated. And the mom said, well, I had to slap him 3 times. Well, was he getting fresh with you? No, I thought he was dead. Just because you're aging doesn't mean you're maturing. How do we mature? We're going to talk about that briefly right now. Maturity has to do with being fully developed, the way God intended for you to be. You can't stop aging, but you can stop maturing. Everyone's getting older, but not everybody's maturing. I decided, well, if I'm getting older, I'm going to make sure that I'm maturing. I want to be fully developed in what God intends for me to be. So you can mature and not be old. When I'm talking about maturity, I'm not talking about having gray hair or no hair. I'm talking about becoming fully developed in what God has planned for you. He has a plan for your life. He allowed you to be born. Regardless of your circumstance, you're still here. You're breathing his oxygen. He's got a plan. There's a reason. We say things like about young people. We say, he or she is very mature for their age. Meaning they're more emotionally developed than what we would expect from somebody their age. And that's a good quality. And today, my goodness, we have a little door in our home on our in our laundry room, where for years we've marked the children, the grandkids, when they come to our house, we mark where they are, and it's just all marked up with, you know, Benjamin this date, and this is Aiden Jackson here, Mariah and Julia and Anna and Timothy David and Grant, and they're all got their names on there in different levels. So every time they show up, first thing we do, we mark where they are. So, yeah, yesterday they just came in and we marked. My goodness, every one of them has grown and Nanny is she getting shorter? I don't understand much about this, but we got to start a growth chart for her because she's going on the decrease here, you know. And but have you noticed like with teenagers today, young beautiful teenagers? I don't know if they're drinking Miracle-Gro or what, but they're a lot bigger and taller, and a lot of them, like for example, young boys who might be 11, 12 years old got a size 12 foot. Isn't that amazing? And young girls at 13, 14, 15 years old have a fully developed body of a grown woman. And that can be good and bad. Because then now if you got a body of a woman, and let's say you 15, 16 years old, and you go out in the world and the guys see you and they think you're a fully grown woman, and they don't really care whether you what age you are anyway anymore. And they start messing with you and tempting you and things like that. And then if you aren't brought up right and don't know any better and get into sexual activity before marriage, which is wrong, and you get involved in that, then emotionally, you're not ready for that. Then you're going to have emotional problems later on in life that you're going to have to deal with it, go all the way back to because you broke God's design, see. And you can be brought up right and still do that. That's right. Yeah. But the point is that you're doing things that you're not, physically, your body looks like it's ready for, but emotionally, you're not ready for. And the same things about fruit. I had some strawberries recently, and man, they are, my goodness, they look beautiful. They're all bright red and humongous things, you know, monster strawberries, and every one of them perfectly ripe. And I bit them and ate them, and they were good. But what I remember whenever I've ever had a vine-ripened strawberry, a vine-ripened strawberry is a lot sweeter. Now these look ripe and they look beautiful and you couldn't tell any difference. You think, my goodness, this is just a perfect strawberry, and you bite into it, and yet if you've ever had a vine ripened one that's never had any GMOs put in it or any special fertilizer, or they spray them now with nitrogen so on the outside they ripen faster, so they look ripe. They're doing that because they're greedy and they want to get them to market quicker and sell them faster to make more money. And so they're not really ripe on the inside, but they look ripe on the outside. Are you getting the point? God doesn't want you to be that way. In fact, if you're that way, and we all are in some areas. I recognize some areas in my life I'm not mature yet. And I wrote this in my Bible years ago. I probably heard it from somebody. I wrote in the fly leaf of my Bible, there are some people I'm not mature enough to be around yet. See, I'm not putting the blame on them. It's that I'm not mature enough to handle them. They get under my skin. Can I have an amen from anybody who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, right. Okay. You're with me. So now we have this scripture in Mark chapter 4. I want you to see it. Can you go back to verse 26? I think it's verse 26. Yeah. Now notice the seed, which represents the word of God, is sown in good ground, and ground represents your heart condition. And when seed is sown into what good ground is described as, can you go to verse 20 for me? Mark 4, verse 20, put that up. It says, these are they which are sown in good ground. Such as, here's good ground. You want to know whether or not you're good ground? And only one out of every four in this auditorium is good ground. I get that from Mark chapter 4. It tells you four different types of ground, four different types of heart. Not everybody's heart in here is going to receive this. I already know that. Doesn't bother me. I'm going to throw the seed wherever I can throw it. I pray you're good ground. But we'll know whether or not you're good ground real soon. Because good ground is marked in this verse as number one is one who hears it. Well, preacher, we hear you. You don't have to yell. No, I ain't talking about that kind of hearing. I'm talking about when someone, when the word of God, when you know God is speaking, whether it's in a song, whether it's in a scripture, whether it's in somebody saying something to you, somehow on the inside, your spirit lights up and you recognize God is talking to me. I don't know how I know, but I know when God's talking to me. I know. I've had God talk to me through lost people who don't even know God. So you just know, you hear it. God, when he speaks to you, knows how to get your attention. His word, his way, when he speaks to you, you hear it. It's got teeth. Oh, and you don't have to try to memorize it. It stays with you. You know how sometimes you get a song, you wake up in the morning and you hear a song in your head and you sing it all day long. And then two or three days, that song just won't get out of your head, about drives you crazy. God's trying to speak to you through this song. So first of all, you got to hear and recognize God's talking to me. See, God's talking to you right now through this flawed preacher. Because it's God and he are working together, and God's talking to you, but I don't know whether or not you're really hearing it. You act like you are. You're saying amen at the right time sometimes, and you look like you're paying attention. You look like you, yeah, but I can't tell. But God can tell. Because if you'll hear it, it'll stay with you. It's like teeth have latched on you, and you're going to think about this for the next few days. It's staying with you, buddy. So first of all, you hear it, and secondly, you receive it. Now, what's the difference? You hear the word. I recognize that's God talking to me. Now, you receive it. Here's how you do. There's a difference. You receive it by saying, that's mine. That's mine, and now I'm going to walk this thing out. I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm going to apply it to my life. I'm not going to just hear it and go, yeah, that was good. Amen. That was a nice sermon, preacher. I hate it when people say, they walk out and say, boy, you really told them today, preacher. No, I was talking to you and me. So when you receive it, you got, all right, I got it now. I got it. And I'm going to think about it. I'm going to mutter it to myself. I'm going to think about it during the week. I'm going to look for ways and opportunities where I can apply this thing. And the people who are good ground, this is what they do. Every time the word's going out, I hear that. It ain't everything the preacher says is something you necessarily need to hear. But there are some things that God wants you to hear. And when your spirit lights up, as you know, I heard that. You better hold on to it. Because the devil comes to try to take it away from you, distraction, and get you busy doing all kinds of other things. And then you'll just go on about your life and you'll forget. The most important thing you can ever hear is when God's speaking to you. That's the most important thing there is to life. And so, maturity is that fruit that has ripened and is sweet when you bite it. Man, that tastes like a strawberry. it ripens. See, from the inside and the outside. See, God wants you to not just hear about him. He wants you to encounter him. When God made himself known to Abraham, when he told him to go offer his son Isaac, and he obeyed, not understanding why. But he started to go and obey, and then God sent up a ram the other side of the mountain. His horns caught in the thicket. God provided a ram. Abraham, don't kill your son. I wanted to see if you're going to obey me, even if you didn't understand. And you've obeyed me. Now I've provided. He learned that day that God is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who makes provision. Now, he didn't want Abraham to say, oh, let me get my notebook and write that down. Oh, man, that's good. You're Jehovah Jireh. I want to make sure I don't forget that one. I learned something new today. Hallelujah. No, he wanted him to encounter Jehovah Jireh. And by encountering him, it changed his life. He learned to start trusting God even in greater things which he could not understand. God wants you to encounter him. Not just come into church and learn some nice little things. Take notes. I think you ought to take notes. If I go into an important conversation with anybody that I need to listen to what they're saying, I always take notes. You have to write down everything, but write down what God's speaking to you so you can meditate on it and go back over it. Let's press on to know the Lord, Hosea said. In the last few weeks, we heard that. Let's press on to maturity, being fully developed. Bible says, be doers of the word, not merely hearers, not listeners, deceiving yourselves. I want to warn you, going to church and reading the Bible could be one of the worst things that ever happens to your life. Yeah, I said it. Going to church and reading the Bible could be one of the worst things that ever happened to you. Because you could deceive yourself into thinking, well, I know God and I know all about God. I know all that. Yeah. I go to church. I've been baptized. I give offerings. I pray. I do all of that and still not know him. And you think you know him. Because you read the Bible. How many people do you know that'll tell you today they don't go to church, they don't believe in God? I've read the Bible from cover to cover. Well, listen, buddy, you can read the Bible, but what you forget is the Bible's reading you. It's reading you. It's a living word. And Wednesday night I talked about meditation and how important it is. Don't read the Bible. Don't study the Bible. Don't study the Bible. Well, preacher, that's the craziest thing I ever heard a preacher say. Well, hang around. I'll probably say some more. Yeah. Don't study the Bible. And if you came Wednesday night, you'd have learned why. Now, there's some extra notes for that if you want to get it, so I ain't going to tell you anymore, so you have to figure it out yourself. You shouldn't miss Wednesday night. We don't just have Wednesday night church just to have it. We do it because we believe God wants us to meet in the middle of the week to encourage one another and feed on his word. So if you can be here, by all means, you need to be here. Now, I've got to jump ahead. I'm running out of time. I want to warn you that maturity has a time limit. Hear me. That's a warning. Maturity has a time limit. God wants to reveal himself to you. Not just to increase your knowledge, but so you can experience him. Now, here's a scripture for you, and you can fill in the blank in a moment with your own area. Hebrews 5 says this. The writer was writing to Christians, people who know the Lord. And he says, we have much to say to you, but it's hard to explain because you've become spiritually dull and slothful in your spiritual hearing. By now, everybody say by now. See, there's a time limit. By now, you ought to be teaching others. You actually have need of someone to come teach you again the very first principles and get the milk because you're not ready for the meat. By now. Now, you fill in the blank in your own life. By now, you ought to be over this depression. By now, you ought to be over this worry. By now, you should be over this hot anger and temper you got. By now, you ought to have this lust problem of under control by now. By now, you fill in the blank. We all got something, don't we? And wherever your struggle is, wherever your weakness is, God's wanting you to mature, but there's a time limit. And if you don't get up to speed in being fully developed in those particular areas, you're going to be immature, and the result's going to be not only will it affect you, but it affects those around you. If you're married, it affects your spouse. If you have children, it affects your children. If you have any friends, it affects your friends. So it's dangerous to stay immature. Well, how do you mature spiritually? Well, it's not automatic. It's intentional. Next slide. It's intentional. You've got to say, I am going for it. I'm going to grow up. I'm going to mature in this area. It ain't going to just happen automatically. On your part, you have to be aware of some things. Okay? And it's not through reading the Bible and going to church. The Pharisees did that. I mean, they knew the Word of God. They memorized the first five books of the Bible. To be a Pharisee, they memorized the first five books of the Bible. And here they are standing in front of the living Word of God, Jesus himself, and didn't even recognize him. They said, no, he's got a devil. Wow. And it's not through time necessarily, although time is involved. By now, you ought to be teaching others. And how you mature is this way. Really, it's quite simple. You leave some things to get some new things. You leave some things to get some new things. It happens in the natural this way. When you were a little baby, brought you home, put you in diapers. And then you're in diapers. And then they go through the process of time and they try to teach you to potty. Go to the potty. The potty is your friend. Don't be afraid of the potty. No, you're a big boy when you go to the potty. And then you finally learn to go to the potty. You start to feel in your stomach and your bowels, you go, oh, I got to go to the potty. Oh, good boy. And then you graduate from diapers to training pants. Wasn't that a big day in your life? Man, training pants. And then you developed later on into underwear. Oh, that was a big day. Superman underwear, Spider-Man underwear, Batman. What? Man, you are in now, buddy. Now, if you're 40 years old and you still have to have some of these other things, not because of physical problems I'm talking about maturity, then you got a serious problem. Same thing, all through your life, okay? From a little baby, you drink milk from your mother's breast or a bottle. You drink milk. You can't have meat. And milk is pre-digested food. Now, the mother ate meat, vegetables, chewed it up, and then her body digested it, and it made milk. And a baby has to have milk. And then eventually, one day, the baby puts away the bottle, puts away the breast, and they're able to drink from a cup. And then they're able to teach them with, here's your food in front of you on your tray, and you begin to learn to grab food and try to put it in your mouth. And you, and they take pictures of all that and say, isn't this cute? And then one day you learn how to use a spoon and a fork, and it's a process, you see. You leave some things to take on some new things. The same is true in the spirit. That's how you mature. And so it's vital that you understand. Now, Hebrews 5:14 says, solid food is for the mature, who by practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil, good from evil. Therefore, leaving elementary things teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again the same old foundation of repentance from dead works. That's stuff we learned. We know that. We don't have to go back and learn that again. We press on. Are you with me, church? And that's where we are in this church. Maturity is an ever-expanding process. I mean, there are different levels for everybody. Everybody here's at different levels. In babyhood, in the natural, let's say from 0 to 5 years old, it's a time of absolute control. The child has got to learn no means no. That's the time they have to learn that. And if they don't believe no means no, then you got to spank them. No, I said no means you got to learn absolute control. There are absolutes in this life. And you start learning that at the baby stage. Now you get a little older, and let's say from 6 to 17 years of age, you're still in childhood. But now there's more liberty. And you learn more from experiences, but you're still learning from your parents. God has seen that we need parents till we're probably 60 years old. we need parents too, you know, 18 till you go into adulthood, and then you get into adulthood, and then by then you've learned the values. You have the values that your parents have instilled in you, and you have those values. You know good from evil. Values are there. Now you're able to make more choices. Now there's a lot more liberty now. You don't have somebody standing over top of you saying, you better do this. And so there's a lot more liberty and a lot more responsibility. And as you mature in the Spirit, there's greater liberty. There's greater freedom. One of the things that people often comment about this church here is that there's a lot of freedom. Well, as long as we're mature to handle it, it'll continue to be a lot of liberty. We don't tell you when to go up and have communion. When you trust the Holy Spirit will lead you, you'll know when to go. See? There's a lot of liberty. And that's the way that God is into it. It's not a bunch of rules. See, you need rules when you're a little baby. Or you're a young teenager. You still need the rules. These are the perimeters. This is where you live. This is where you can make choices. You live in these perimeters. And you need those. But when you mature, you don't need rules. Because you have a relationship with the Father. You know His heart. You have His values. You have the Holy Spirit in you, and you trust the Holy. Now you're at the place where you've learned to be led by the Spirit of God. You don't have to have somebody say, now, rule number one. One of my favorite TV shows is Andy Griffith. So when I want to escape the world, I go and watch Andy Griffith for a while. And one of my favorite scenes is Barney. And he's got these convicts that the state brought in and put them in the jail cells there, you know. And Barney, he's got some prisoners now, so he's a big deal, you know. He's big shot. And he's got these guys locked up, and he says, he got them locked in to say, he said, now, men, here at the Rock, there are two rules. He's making it up. You can tell in his mind as he's going along. Rule number one, remember all rules. And rule number two, do not write on the walls, as it takes a lot of work to get writing off the walls. I just love that scene. It has nothing to do with the sermon. I just had to do it. I had a flashback. Quickly, I'm going to just shorten this real brief for you. You have to sacrifice in order to mature and reach your full potential. And that's really important. Quick example. Moses' mother gave up her baby, not knowing what was going to happen to him. Put him in that basket, pushed him out into the river, where there's crocodiles, but under the direction of the Lord, this is what we're supposed to do. And she let her baby go. And when she was sacrificing by letting her baby go, she got him back, plus benefits. Little boy standing on the hillside, sitting on the hillside, listening to Jesus. There's 5,000 people there. And the disciples said, well, how are we going to feed all these people? Lord, you told us to feed them. What are we going to do? Well, there's a little boy over here. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Let's see what if he'll give it to us. Well, go ask him, okay? Little boy, would you give us your lunch? No, go get your own. No, he didn't say that. He said, sure. He sacrificed his lunch, and he saw a miracle they'd never forgotten. It's written about in the Bible. 5,000 people were fed. Probably about 15,000 people, truth be known. Sacrifice. God told Abraham, now I want you to leave your country. I want you to leave your family, your kindred, everything you know. And I want you to go to a land that I'm not going to tell you where it is right now, but trust me, I'm going to get you there. Okay. Sacrifice. And I'm telling you, you're no different. The way to maturity in your life and in my life is there's sacrifice involved. Question, when did Jesus mature? People say, well, he was always mature because he's God. No, not in the flesh. He was God in the flesh. He's the Son of God, but he's also God the Son. But when did he mature? Wasn't that his virgin birth? That virgin birth was real, but he wasn't mature there. He had to learn. He had to go through diapers. He had to learn how to eat. He had to learn how to cleanse himself. He had to learn. Quick answer. When he was 30 years old, at his baptism. Prior to his baptism and when the Holy Spirit came down upon him, prior to that, we don't have any specific teaching that's written about what he taught. We don't have any miracles that he did for 30 years. 30 years. Now the world is dying. The world needs Jesus. But God wasn't in any hurry. Not till he was mature. And at 30, at his baptism, God said, this is my beloved Huios, my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. The word huios means a mature son. This is my mature son. And after his baptism, man, things started happening for the next 3.5 years. Miracles, signs, and wonders. But it wasn't until he was mature. I mean, Jesus was in the womb for 9 months. Even though the world was dying, God didn't say, okay, well, I'll make yours only 5 months. No. Or I'll wait, when you're 25, I'll just hurry things up so you can get out here and save the world. No, 30. Maturity. God seems to be more focused on his seed maturing in us than anything else. More than accomplishing things. More than doing things. This is my son, my huios, my mature son. And listen, a mature son has access to things in his inheritance that an immature son can't have access to. You don't give a 3-year-old a butcher knife and say, now go over and slice that tomato for me. No. But you don't have any problem giving it to someone who's mature. Jesus said, all things, after he was baptized, all things of my Father have been given to me. He didn't say that before he was baptized. It hadn't been given. He had all authority and power in heaven and earth because he's the Son of God, but he didn't have all the leading of the Lord to be able to use all of that until he was mature and the Father said, now you're ready. Maturity is very important. I don't care what age you are. Doesn't mean you're mature. One time Jesus is going to the cross and being mistreated by people. And his disciples were wondering, well, what are we going to do? We got to protect him. And Peter cut off the high priest servant's ear with a sword. And Jesus said, put that thing away. Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels at any moment? And he could have. That's 72,000 angels. I could do that if I wanted. I have the authority because I'm a son. As a mature son, I have access to things. Don't you know? But if he had been immature, of course, he wouldn't have said that. Now, let me try to land this plane for you quickly because there's so much more here that we need to understand. God wants us to become mature sons of God, sons and daughters of God. And what's this maturity going to look like for us? Here, Romans 8:29 nails it. This tells you what it's going to look like in your life. For those whom God foreknew, that's you, he also destined from the very beginning to be, come on, say it with me, molded into the image of his son and share inwardly his likeness that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. God is saying, I want a bunch of sons like my son. I want a bunch of sons like my Jesus. So that's what I'm doing in your life, whether you know it or not. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing it. It may not seem like it's happening, but I'm doing it. I'm wanting you to become like my son. And God has determined whatever it takes. But the problem is, on your end, maturity has a time limit. You could miss your destiny. You could miss your calling in life. You could miss what God has planned for you because there's a time limit for you. God can do anything, but he works with your cooperation. And the time's right. You don't know how much time you have. Now, the problem is immaturity. And we have got to agree with God that we're going to press on to maturity. One of the very revealing ways how you see when someone's immature, there may be a Christian, maybe born again, maybe know Jesus, but they're immature, is when they have to ask about the rules. Pastor, is it okay to do this or that? Immaturity. Because you have the Spirit of God in you now, and you haven't learned to go to him and trust him to lead you. Pastor, is it okay for to live with my boyfriend, even though we're planning on getting married, but we just ain't got married yet. Is it okay? I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not judging anybody. That's not my calling to do that. But it just reveals immaturity. You don't know the Lord. You don't know what his will would be concerning that matter. See, when we mature, we don't need the rules anymore. We've learned to be led by the Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the huios, the mature sons of God. Our goal in this church is to teach you and to teach me how to be Spirit-led people, not rule-led people. And most of you came out of a very legalistic background where that's all you were taught at church, the rules. Well, that's a good place to start when you're immature, but you sure mature to the point where you don't need the rules preached to you every week. You need to be encouraged to press on into maturity to be Spirit-led. And that's where I believe the Lord's taken us as a church now. God provides you opportunities to spiritually mature. He does. I mean, we prepare spiritual food here every week. Sunday and Wednesday is a feeding time. And if you're hungry spiritually, you can come and feed. And you can get something that's going to help you. Why don't you go ahead and stand up? I know you're tired, ready to go home. Well, you got enough to feed on right here. A little boy was, he's just a little boy, probably about 5-6 years old. Went to bed at night. Mom and dad said his prayers with him. And about 2 hours later, he's screaming and crying. Dad runs in there. What's wrong? He'd fallen out of bed. Well, son, don't worry. I mean, just get back in bed. You'll be okay. I know it hurt, but you're okay. Gets him back in bed. About 2 hours later, same thing happened again. Boy falls out of bed, screaming and crying, waking up mom and dad. Happened about the third time. And the father sat down with the boy the third time and said, "Now, Johnny, what do you think the problem is?" And the little boy said, "I think I stay too close to where I got in." You want to know what your problem is? You may be staying way too close to where you got in. It's time to mature. And it's a now or never. You're getting older, like it or not. I ain't excited about it, but the alternative is to check out now and go on to heaven, you know. But I got work to do. So I'm going to get older, but I can't help that, but I can help. I am going to mature. Amen. Would you bow your head, and altar workers, would you come forward? You got to be motivated to grow. You got to have a passion that's put there by the Lord in your heart. Because if you don't have passion, you won't make any progress. You got to have passion for anything in life you want to move forward in. I mean, if you want to lose weight, you got to have the passion to say, "I'm going to go work on this." If you want to save money, I'm passionate about it. I'm going to save money. I'm going to stop spending here and start saving there. You got to have passion. And you got to have passion to make spiritual progress. And probably the best place to start today for some of you who know that you're spiritually lethargic, spiritually apathetic, not condemning you, but praise God you realize it. And praise God you realize it, but now, what I would do if I were you, and which I've already done myself, because I saw spiritual lethargy in my life, slothfulness. I said, "Lord, I don't want that." I got down on my knees and I came to God and I said, "God, give me passion. Give me your fire again." And here's the scary part. And do whatever it takes. Because I know God's a good God, I don't fear praying that prayer. You shouldn't either. He's a good father, and he loves you.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255. Or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.